you. Tonight, sharing, teaching, it's going to be two completely different stories about Yahweh and Adam and his firstborn, Cain. And when Cain was born, what did Eve say? "I've begotten Yahweh," is what she said. We'll put a footnote. And what, as far as Adam and Eve, the hope was there's going to be death, but the seed of the woman's coming. And a lot of people believe that Eve was thinking that it probably Cain. So he was your firstborn son. The purpose of sharing the two stories is how important our diets. So I have a client. She's like Shirley Davis. She's righteous. She's vigilant with reading the Word and Scriptures and volunteering. And anytime I call her with good news, she always goes, "Are you sure?" And after a while, Yahweh goes, "Why is she always asking, 'Are you sure?'" And so I'm at a point that I was sitting there talking about how wonderful her assets are doubled. She's got more than enough money. You don't have to worry about your money anymore. You don't have to worry about your insurance. We've already taken care of your nursing home insurance, your health insurance. It's all done. All I have to worry about probate and these other things. And you're not going to have probate. And we get done, clean everything up, and I leave. But this time, Yahweh goes, "Ask her why. She always doubts you." And as I sat there, I said, I had to find a way to say not to offend her. But I said, "Why are you always worried?" And I got to come back and, you know, confirm. And she started rattling on. And basically, she came back down to, I'm like trying to narrow down what the problem is. It's like she's keep getting emotionally sick. You shouldn't be sick. Turns out she's watching CNN. And The View. This is the communist hates Christ, and you're watching Satan's news network. What are they ever going to tell you that's right, that's going to bless Yahweh and Christ? In fact, in front of Yahweh and Christ and all the angels, they blaspheme, and they had it for years. And I told her, "You can't do that." I said, "You are shortening your life." And then I reproved her. I said, "We are commanded to give joy and hope, and the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not just for us, it's for us to give Him. How nice is it to have children that are faithful?" Yeah. "You're full of hope and joy, and this, Lord, ain't it great? Even if you're a parent, or a child, or a nephew, you mess up, and they're slow to anger. Isn't that nice? That's wonderful." And he's giving us that. I'm like, "But you gotta fix your diet. You can't do it." She had a niece, lost both legs because she wouldn't stop eating. But then I said, "You got to fix your diet. You cannot be eating garbage. And you're shorting your life as not." And why do I tell that story? Christians had a fake news network for most of their Bibles. That in certain areas, they're going to have facts in there. But in other areas, the person they're trusting just makes stuff up. Because it's what they want. And for most people, they have no idea. And if you're feeding on that, you're never going to get what this teaching that I'm so excited about. I would have never gotten it if my father had not introduced me to Rother. And the Word says, "Be seeking, be asking, be knocking." And how can Yahweh ever help people if you never take His Word serious? Mm-hmm. How accurate is your Bible? "Well, I think this one's fine." He's in the room. Okay? What I'll do is I'll paint a picture for you of a different story that I've never heard of before. And then we'll go through and validate. It's something that sounds like I'm making stuff up. Every once in a while, I'll be hearing teaching, and I'll look at it and I'm like, "Okay, validate that." For instance, Don Lippel said that the disciples were teenagers. And I sat there, and you got like 15 seconds. She didn't validate. "You're just making stuff up." To me, that's just sad. In Genesis chapter 4, Yahweh confronts Cain, and it's so, up to this point, it's always been so bizarre. Really, here's Cain, murders his brother, and if you listen to the Word of Promise, Yahweh goes, sends at the warns Cain, because sin is at the door. to be careful because of sin. And then later on, Cain goes, oh, he's such a victim. My punishment's more than I can bear. Does that make sense to anybody? Cain, it almost appears, at least especially with word promise, he appears like he's a victim. He's not a victim. Mm. And it turns out that it was the perspective that I've been studying all these years. Because what I would do, and we just went to a teaching, and the teacher went on to go in, Genesis chapter 4, and he started teaching what I believed. You validate what I already believe. All right. Until I saw a footnote, and y'all look at that footnote. In the middle of the teaching, I read the footnote, and all of a sudden, my whole world went upside down. What was my teaching that I believed that he was confronting? Well, it says Yahweh warns Cain, sin is at the door. It's right there. You got to be careful. And then you start thinking. It says James chapter 4:7 says the devil is as a roaring. It says resist the devil and he will flee. And then in Peter it says the devil is a roaring lion. Right? He's everywhere. Be sober. Be vigilant. And so the whole thing is you're this close from sinning. And then later on, Cain, I can't handle this. Remind me to go back to Cain as a victim, and I want to close with that if I can. Turns out, when Yahweh confronts Cain, he says, Cain, it's not too late. You can still come home. Yeah. Well, about it. Cain, it's still not too late. You can still come home. And it turns out that the story of Cain with Yahweh is more like the story of the prodigal son. The father going, what are you doing? Except Cain never comes back. And so the story is going to be more like not resist the devil, sin is right here, we wrestle not with flesh and blood like I had always believed. You got to be diligent. I used to do it. You got to do the scriptures. You got to be disciplined because sin is right there. And you got to wrestle not with flesh and blood. You got to kill the old man. And I wrap all these things together, and I would include Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. And we'll find out that I was wrong. So we'll kind of go through the handout. Keep me on. So the word that we're discussing, you see, two completely different stories of Yahweh and Cain, depending on how the translators translate one word. Sin. And that word sin is Strong's number H2403. And it's pronounced something like hat-off or hat-off. That word is not just sin, but it can be translated in other words. It's real important because what almost every translation is going to translate Genesis 4:7. They're going to say, Cain, sin is at the door. It's right there. It also means a sin bearer. What's a sin bearer? The lamb that was killed during Passover was the sin bearer. And what happened? Death passed over. They took the blood of the lamb. And so instead of resist the devil and sins right at the door, it's going to be a story of the prodigal son. And who's going to validate the story of the prodigal son and the definition of this word sin? First, Joseph Rotherham, then E.W. Bolinger, and then Robert Young all say this word is not sin. In Genesis 4, it should be sin bearer. The sin bearer is at the door.
Do not understand.
Well, turn to the last. Okay. You don't understand?
Well, explain like you explain me.
Go read Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Do you see the word sin bearer? You see the footnote. Read the footnote.
First usage of...
It's the first usage. Very important, like Dad will say. And what does the footnote say? Read it out loud.
As much as to say with which thy brother will supply thee.
The sin bearer is at the door. And what? your brother will supply. And what Rotham's saying is, Yahweh talks to Cain and says, the sin bearer's at the door. Wait a minute. Hebrews 9 says what about the remissions of sin? Anybody?
I'm sorry.
Hebrews 9 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no what?
Remission
of sin.
Yeah.
Without the shedding of blood, there's no word. And in that scripture, it doesn't say everything, but it does say that. If you read the first part, there's exceptions to that. If you read just the verse 9. What do we know? Adam and Eve, how did they get rid of their sins? Genesis 3:21. What's it say in 3:21?
I don't know.
Read it.
Just Elohim made for man, for his wife, tunics of skin and clothed
him. How did he give him tunics of skin? It's the first shedding of blood. And if you want to study an artist, that's the first shedding of blood. So what happened to Adam and Eve? They didn't die. Substitute sacrifice, but there's only one way. And you think about it, I wanted to do this with Vero during Passover. Say Passover.
Pascua.
Pascua. That's what they call it in Argentina. They don't call it Easter. They call it Passover. Oh. We got to take that back. Just start calling it Passover.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do, that it would be great if I had family and children, is I want to go adopt a lamb. For 3 days, you're going to take care of this lamb. And then we're going to crucify it.
After the adopt lamb.
No, that might be a little extreme. The Israelites were to adopt a perfect lamb, and then they keep it in their house. It wasn't like somebody you didn't know, somebody else's lamb. No, this is what's going to die for you. And what was the purpose of that? Sin is costly. It's costly. Think about what you're doing. And later on in Leviticus, the father of the household was supposed to take all the sins of the household and cast them onto the sacrificial animal. And why is that important? 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, Christ is the Lamb and His blood. If we don't confess our sins, His blood can't cover us. But it kind of come full circle. You know, what I was thinking about with a lamb dying, one other thing with that, I thought about a lamb. We're watching the Passover, and I'm going, golly, I need to adopt a lamb for 3 days just to get an idea. I mean, wouldn't that honor Yahweh? He's watching me, really trying to understand. And then Yahweh went, now nail it to a cross while it's alive. I wouldn't do that to an animal. Look, just think about this. What if you were told to nail it to a cross? You'd be like, that would be horrifying. That happened. Didn't happen to an animal. And Yahushua did that. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Think about this, is that right now, Jews are not saved. Why? They reject Yahweh the Messiah. Could they reject it? Could they accept it? Yeah, but this happened in Exodus too. Who was the mediator in Exodus? Moses. Did all the Israelites get along with Moses? No! We got no problem with Yahweh, we just don't want Moses. They didn't want to go through the way. But with Cain, he didn't have what? Animals. He had, what was his occupation?
Fruit.
What was his brother's?
Sheep.
Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. Abel's was accepted. What did Abel offers a sacrifice? Blood. Now we read that. Now read the footnote. Which with thy brother, there's a sin bearer. So Rothman's going to say, this can be translated Cain. There is a sin bearer with thy brother who will supply it. Now think about Cain. I got to go to my little brother to go get I'm not going to my little brother. Does that paint a picture what Rothman's trying to say? It says sin bearer. And we'll go to this next page. We'll go to the second page and you'll see. I put it. Here's Young's. He's going to call sin offering. E.W. Bolger, you're going to have over here, you're going to have, it's going to say sin. But over here on the right, I thought it was highlighted. E.W. Bowler is going to go, this is the same one, all the rest of these verses, this should be a sin bearer. And turn the page, and here's usages of the same word. I mean, it's like 299 times it's used. And in Genesis, the first usage, Rotherham, Young's, E.W. Bowler said that's sin bearer, and I'll come back to verify that. In Genesis 18:4-7, same word, you guys see that I highlighted it or made it darker.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 18:20, what word does that say? It says sin. Mm-hmm. Exodus 30:10, same word, what is that translated?
The
sin.
Wait.
No, not in Exodus
30:10. What did you ask?
How is the word translated in Exodus 30?
Sin offering.
Sin offering. It's the same word. And then Leviticus 4:3 underneath it, I underlined it. How they translate there? Sin offering. Underneath that, Leviticus 6:25, sin offering. You can look back to the right, it's all the same word,
H24:3.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. And then you can go on to Leviticus 7:3 is going to be sin offering. And Leviticus 8:2, sin offering. And that's what E.W. Bowler does. So if Rotherham says something, I go, E.W. Bowler, what does he say about this? What does E.W. Bowler do? Rotherham's the best there was at ancient Hebrew and Greek. Nobody knew better and could translate it better than him. Bowler was a teacher. And he understood things too. So you go to Bowler, it's sin offering, and then he values it with 15 verses. Mm-hmm. This is the same word. It's sin offering there. Why do they call it and say this is sin offering? What's the context of this word? We're in Genesis 4:7, right? Mm-hmm. Go to Genesis 4:3. What's the context? I think it's set 4:3. What's 4:3 say?
Sacrifice.
The context of what?
Sacrifice.
A sacrifice. It's an offering. Yeah, it was a 4:3. So the whole context of the situation is his offering was not accepted. Yahweh says, your brother's got one. Go fix it. And think about that. What does he do? He kills his brother. How evil is that guy? Now think of you. I was thinking about in the book of Revelation. There's 1,000 years of the adversary locked up. And I think all of us have a human nature to think that there's a utopia. If you get rid of evil, we'll be good. Yeah. After 1,000 years, what happens? The adversary deceives him. I bet she's going to come in as an angel of light. Give him multiple gods, all kinds of different things. But do you know another example of that 1,000-year? Adam and Eve, in a perfect environment.
Yeah.
It chose death. Eve was deceived. Adam knew what he was doing. He still chose it. It just shows the heart of man. Here's Cain and Abel. Yahweh confronting Cain, going, Cain, it doesn't have to be this way. Go to your brother and get the blood. And what does Cain do? He kills his brother. Then the next thing that was so odd, if you go down to verse 13, so when you hear a word of promise, now I'm very, very grateful for a word of promise, and 98% of it, I love it, but with Cain and with Esau, they seem like victims. Verse 13, and Cain said unto Yahweh, greater is my punishment than I can bear. Do you feel sorry for him?
No.
Why did you even record this? Who cares what this murder? He murdered his brother in cold blood. Why? Envy.
Yeah.
Envy. I wonder who told Cain you would be in charge of the farmer. Who told Abel you would be it could have been Yahweh telling Adam. No. Here's one that needs humility. Abel, get down. But in verse 13, and Cain said unto Yahweh, greater is my punishment than I can bear. See footnote G. Read footnote G. Let me see.
Is mine iniquity too great to be forgiven?
Thank you. is mine iniquity too great to be forgiven? Is how E.W. Rothering puts a footnote there. And it appears what Rothering is trying to, is Cain saying, I've gone too far, there's no coming back. Leave me alone. And what turns out is Yahweh, it appears that with the note there, with what Rothering is saying, it appears how many people go, I've gone too far, it's too late. And Yahweh, no, it's not too late. We read the story of Manasseh and some of these other guys at the very last, you know, turning. And it appears that Yahweh's sitting there going, you can still, you know what you need to do. And he turned himself, he never repented. The other part of the handout would be just some interesting things about E.W. Bolling and his sin offering, what he says. And so the study is on this Hebrew word, sin. Most translators are going to say it's sin, not a sin offering. And I'll just start reading here underneath the picture. And then see if you get it. So E.W. Bolinger gives a very specific and Hebrew-focused explaining Genesis 4:7. It is quite different than the common sin is crouching at the door interpretation. Genesis 4:7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. Most modern readers take this as sin is like a beast waiting to attack you. But Bollinger rejects that interpretation. Bollinger, you go down, interpretation, sin equals sin offering. Bollinger points out that the Hebrew word hatah can mean sin or sin offering. And I put the verses to the right there. He argues that Genesis 4:7 should be translated, a sin offering is at the door.
It's a whole.
According to Bolinger, Yahweh is telling Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. If not, a sin offering is already available for you. In other words, God had already provided a way for Cain to be restored. This aligns with Abel's sacrifice, the blood offering, which Cain rejected. They're going, not as a crouching beast getting ready to jump on. Bolinger specifically pushes back against the idea that sin is pictured as an animal lurking or crouching. Instead, he says the verse is about grace and provision, not threat. Yahweh is offering Cain a remedy, not warning of an attack. Unto thee shall be his desire. Bolinger also interprets the latter part of this verse differently. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. It connects us structurally and grammatically, suggesting it relates to order, responsibility, and moral choice. Cain still has authority to choose rightly. And what was kind of neat with reading that part is it made me think of, and some of the stuff, the scriptures aren't saying this exactly. What I'm trying to share is the possibility of a whole other story we've never heard, is that Cain is still the firstborn. You're going to rule over your brother, but you have to get down, you know, you have to humble yourself, and there's a sin offering with your brother. So the summary of Bolinger's review is sin is not sin is crouching like a beast ready to devour. Instead, a sin offering is available right at the door. Think about that. With repent.
Mm-hmm.
Repent. It means turn around, stop.
Yeah.
I love that with John the Baptist, because when they came to him, he said, "Ooh, you brood of vipers." And then later, when he goes, make fruit showing that you're repentant. Prove it.
Yeah.
Well, I said it. I got baptized in front of everybody. I got washed by the blood. No, bear fruit. Change. And even now, when we look at how many Christians are in sin, and they live that way until they get caught. They don't fear God, they just don't want to get caught. I've been that guy before. But it's like, no, sin, a sin bearer is right there. Confess your sins, get it over with, move on. Aaron, when I don't confess my sins to Yahweh and accept the blood that comes through Yehoshua, I can be like Cain saying, I haven't sinned. And Yahweh is saying, Cain, there's no way back except through Abel. He's got the livestock. Go go fix it now. Well, I'm not going to my brother. Why can't you accept my stuff? It's the same as somebody not going to confess their sins to Christ. Say, I need your blood to cover me. Why this matters? God's mercy, or his chesed before judgment. The necessity of a blood sacrifice. That Cain's failure was not a lack of access, but a rejection of provision. The bottom line, Yahweh offers Cain a way back through a sin offering right at his door, rather than worrying about sin this long. And so, so it's a completely different story. And what would happen is that if I had not had the raw ram, and actually that's one of the Logos translations, since the footnotes are lit up, you don't have to read the bottom, you just touch the screen. It really makes it even more accommodative. Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm looking, other times I don't want to read it because I'm going to lose my place and come back. The Logos, you just hit it. We're at the teaching, and the girl starts doing, she didn't know, but she went into a whole thing about the Great Commission. You know, the Great Commission, go baptize, cast out demons. It's called the Great Commission. It's the big deal. And the titles are called the Great Commission. And then she said, turn to Mark chapter 16. And I went, this is not in the text, in the Mark. Her whole great, but while in church, Vero has logos, I said, touch that button. She goes, what button? She touches the button, not that button, this button. And what did the button say? This is not in the text. Mm-hmm. While we're sitting in church, we were able to glean, but then also Yahweh was able to start teaching us other things. Vera goes in and started researching, going, look, all this stuff isn't in, all the rest of these things. And because Rotherham had footnotes. And because it's the same way as, what are you feeding on, CNN? That's going to be costly. If you're feeding on the word, the closest thing we have to the Hebrew and Greek is going to be the Rotherham, and then he's not perfect. And if you want to check it, UW Bollinger, does he agree with it? And sometimes they don't agree. When those three guys don't agree, but when all three of them agree, they say, maybe there's something on it. Yeah. But the whole other story of instead of Cain being this wimp, it looks like Yahweh's being very, very, it appeared to me, unjustly patient with this kid.
Yeah.
Smite that sucker.
Yeah.
Have Adam kill him or something. It was a murderer. I'm trying to understand this. And now I'm looking at a whole other light.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the resources we have, that we have printed Bibles and electronics. And we have people that have already put numbers to every one of the Hebrew and Greek words, and we have access to look them up. Thank you for telling us ministries, for distributing. And for my dad finding the Rotherham, and for my wife also sharing all these things with me. We thank you for these words. I know, my children, that I have more information than you have time. And I get very excited any time you guys show an interest in me. I am a king, so I don't beg you. But I do wait for you. And when you show yourself that you are serious and you want to know things, I will teach you things that will blow your mind. And I will show you universes that nobody even understood. I will teach you secrets if you can keep them. And I will reveal things that are more beautiful than you've ever imagined if you seek me. Amen.
Amen.